Holla, holla, it's the Freedom Fiends live on Sunday. Yeah, you know, it's, what is it, Price Fixing Day weekend?
Yes, and, it's the day
we are still doing a live show.
Fixes the prices, yes. Yeah. We can prove we're doing a live show. Let's see, how can we prove that? Hey, Neva, catch the ball. Catch the ball. He didn't catch it. All right. That proves we're live. No, we really are live. When we first got on here, they'd call us up. You know, they have somebody call before every holiday weekend and ask the host, like, the first, you know, are you doing a live show this weekend? Are you taking it off and running a taped show? And, the first time they asked me that, I was like, what? Cause it was my birthday also. And it was like some holiday. And I was like, I'm not going to take my birthday off. What do you mean? And they're like, well, no, it's Memorial Day. And I'm like, we don't take off holidays. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll just save you a call every time. We'll only ever do a taped show if one of us is in Gitmo. If we're both in Gitmo, if one of us is in Gitmo, we'll still do a live show. So we're going to do a live show, whether it's Christmas, New Year's, whatever it is.
We'd have to both be in Gitmo. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would not
force fed inshore.
Yeah. I don't want to be barbecuing and celebrating, you know, price fixing by the government today.
Not at all. Okay. So to prove we're live, I just did a Google news search. So if this is real time, you're listening to it now, it's 12:07 PM Central Time on Sunday.
That can be faked.
Google News search is Syria debate in Oval Office focused on whether to put a military strike before ... So if you do a blank Google News, that's what you'll get.
All right. So I
proof,
guess we've
or
proofed,
evidence at least.
Proofed, yes.
We've evidenced.
Yeah.
I'm making that a verb now. Yeah.
So the Fed's been busy. There's been breaking news on the Syria front since yesterday.
I wish they would go on vacation. Can they tape it? Can they just tape the tyranny for the next year and they can all go home?
Yeah,
I'd prefer that. Yeah. All right.
I like
anyway,
that.
What did they do? They did something now.
Well, let's see. We were talking yesterday about Syria, and after the show yesterday, it was announced. Well, it was kind of weird because John Kerry came out and said, "We must invade Syria immediately. It's time sensitive." And then, like,
oh, he doesn't sound that gruff. He sounds like, "Oh, I believe we must invade Syria."
Yes, yes. And then, like, a half hour later, yeah, he has Long Island lockjaw. He's like, "Well, I do believe that we have to invade Syria."
No.
Hey, speaking of which, Frost died. The news. Oh. We got to do a tip of the hat to, you know, pour some colloidal.
Silver
on the ground in his honor.
Okay. All right,
yeah, David Frost, is that his name? The guy that interviewed Nixon back in the day. Okay, this is important because reporters used to ask tough questions of leaders, and he helped bring down Nixon by asking tough questions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see this.
That's because
he died at 74 today.
So they probably didn't kill him. Maybe. I mean, Nixon had an enemies list, and it was in the hands of people that outlived Nixon. So I doubt it, though. I think 74, that's – you just die, maybe. I mean, there's people – my dad's 91, and he's still kicking.
Yeah.
It's possible. Yeah. You know, that'd probably be the thing that would be smart for governments and secret black op government agencies with giant budgets that we can see now to
wait
do.
Till the journalists they don't like are older to kill
yeah,
them.
Yeah. Just steal a couple years from their life, you know. Yeah, that'd be the punishment.
None of this Michael Hastings, young, troubled.
getting hacked, kind of hacking your BMW or what was he driving?
It was a Mercedes, but no slander.
No. We like Mercedes. And we like Glocks, and we're going to talk about Glocks today, too, later. We're going to talk about full auto Glocks, Glock handguns, which is kind of an amazing idea because you pull the trigger and they go, and they're done. And,
but so they won't sell one to you. It's not for everyone. It's only for the only ones.
Although they took one off Saddam Hussein when they caught him, and they gave it to George Bush, and he treasures it. Now, it is a full auto weapon. Did George Bush have to do a background check to own that full auto weapon? He should.
Man, he's above the law. There's no rule of law. That's the one obvious deciding factor when you're looking at the modern state. Is there's no rule of law for those who are the law. They're above the law. That's what distinguishes them from you mere mundanes.
Yeah, and you know, George Bush quit his lifetime NRA membership when the NRA said that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms were jackbooted thugs, which they are. I mean, they wear jackboots and they do thuggish things and kick indoors.
George Bush said that?
The NRA said that. About something in particular, not in general about the ATF, but about some specific thing they did. And George Bush publicly resigned his lifetime NRA membership in protest. Like, you can't call the government, basically.
Right, right. Good riddance, I say. Well, also, didn't he, didn't George W. Bush destroy a ton of military surplus, not military surplus, but captured AK-47s and a bunch of other comm block type weapons in the Middle East? Like, they found some stash in Iraq, and yeah, instead of bringing them to the U.S. for use, you know, like they did with old Russian Mosin Nagants and stuff like that, they just, like, torched them.
Yeah. Well, you know, those are the bad guy guns. We can't let them in. But, you know, I've actually met Vietnam vets who have a problem with AKs. Like, if you pull out an AK at the range, guys are like, I was shot at with those. I can't stand that. And it's, I guess I've never been shot at all day, every day by being forced to be somewhere by the government that I'm being shot at all day, every day. So I don't understand, but I don't know if I were hit by, you know, a Ford, I don't think I'd screech every time a Ford drove by me.
You might.
But that's just me. And I can't understand the mind. I can't understand the destruction to your emotions that would be done by the government throwing you into a war zone.
I guess that's kind of the point.
So I'll give him a break in that. But Obama, Obama overnight stole some more gun rights. And he did it in really, like, ways that don't affect a lot of people. I think it was taking advantage of a crisis, never letting a crisis go to waste, and seeing what he could get away with. Basically, he closed a so-called loophole, which is a hole through which freedom flows, as we say on The Fiends. Closed a loophole where corporate trusts could transfer a weapon in a state that requires registration without requiring registration. Like, basically, if someone dies and everything's in a trust, the kids can't just inherit, you know, the adult children can't just inherit the family's weapons without doing another background check. And that doesn't affect a lot of people, but it's really serious. And another thing he did was prevented the reimportation of exported U.S. guns, which closes a so-called loophole that the NRA had where they got good guy weapons or M1 Garands back into America and sold them inexpensively to people who'd passed the NRA background training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How awful is this, these barriers he puts up to the transfer of just an inanimate object that people want? I mean, this is literally interfering in the market. This is literally hindering the economy, grabbing onto it and putting a wet blanket on it, whatever cliche you want to use. And it's just really sad, too, especially the part about the trust and the transfer, because that's basically denying somebody their death wish. You know,
yeah,
if I willed my old hunting shotgun to my grandkid one day and he lives in California, unfortunately, for some odd reason that I told him not to move there. Why did he go there? I don't know. And he can't have it. My dying wish has been relinquished due to Obama's silliness. You know, I just don't understand how people can take this and listen to this and hear this and not think of the state as anything but a monstrous drain on society.
Yeah, and I think the particular things that he did overnight the other day with the stroke of a pen outside of Congress, I think that they were test grounds. I think they were test cases because they don't affect a lot of people, you know, and it's been said that, like, you could easily outlaw wearing ostrich skin blue and purple hats with diamonds in them, but you couldn't easily outlaw wearing blue shirts. Too many people wear blue shirts, so it's hard to outlaw, but you can outlaw something that, like, 1% of 1% of the people do. It's easier. Yeah. So he outlawed something that maybe 1% affects maybe 1% of gun owners, maybe.
Right. Right. And how are you going to get a big campaign behind that? Because it's very abstract to most people, because, like you say, it doesn't affect them directly. So it's something that he can get away with, because even if 100% of that 1% that it affects made a big stink about it, it wouldn't even make the newspaper, let alone the front page of the newspaper.
It also does zero to affect, you know, guns in the hands of criminals. Generally, people who have the money to do a trust. Well, I can't really speak to that one, but the NRA one, and I don't usually speak highly of the NRA, but I like a few things about them. And that was one of the things, was that program they had where you could buy, you know, a World War II battle rifle. That's one of the best rifles
in
the world.
You had to complete some sort of riflemanship or marksmanship course, didn't you? Like, criminals, you had to show your proficiency
and your safety. Criminals don't sign up for those classes. And they don't use M1 Garands because they, you know, don't fire enough shots. And
they have wood furniture. So they're Krampus,
they look like
guns.
Krampus guns. You know, I actually saw, DJ and I saw, this is one of the things that led us to leaving California and moving to Wyoming, was we were at a gun shop early on in our gun career, and a couple came in, and the husband had just inherited a shotgun from his grandfather, and he wanted to get it tuned up by the shop. And he explained to them, you know, my grandfather, you know, gave this to me in his will. And they were like, well, did you transfer it? Did you get it registered? Or, and they were like, no. And they're like, this is an illegal gun in California. We can't touch this.
Really? Yeah. You guys saw that happen in person?
Yeah, he should have had a trust. He was astonished, too, because he wasn't a gun guy, but he was an anti-gun, and he liked his grandfather. And he was just like, yeah, my grandfather gave me this, and I want to take up
shooting. I can't have it.
Yeah.
It's illegal. I'm a criminal.
They didn't take it away from him. They were just like, please get this out of our store. We can't deal with this. We can't have this in here.
Well, that goes back to
bad, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's like what I said about how the state, one of the things it does is it makes it to where two parties are looking at each other right in the face and neither of them gets what they want. They are both doing the exact opposite of they want. Because the company, I'm sure they would have loved to have gotten the money to tune that gun up and be good customer service for that guy. And that guy wanted the thing that his grandpa willed to him, but neither party gets to be happy. It's a lose-lose situation.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think it was a rifle, actually. Come to think of it, I think it was a grandpa's gun hunting
grandpa's
rifle.
Gun. Yes.
Yeah. So speaking of non-grandpa's guns, do you want to play that audio from the fully auto Glock handgun, the Model 18?
Yes. This is Glock's Model 18. I think it's actually the Model 18C that does the fully automatic. So here is what it sounds like.
Okay.
That's it.
Two trigger pulls and he's out.
Yeah.
He's out for the count. And it says in the notes that it took some time to get used to this. So I think that was probably him practicing for a while. And that's what he figured out. Two trigger pulls, and that's me being on my game.
Now, what would they only sell this to, what was the term? Like good guy cops or something?
Good guy cops.
What'd they say?
Let's see. Available only to qualified, reputable law enforcement / government agencies.
Reputable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reputable to whom? Do you put an M there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
We'll have plenty more Freedom Fiends when we get back from the market.
Yeah.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, not your dad's talk radio. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. That's us. It's the talk radio show. I'm Nima Vedati out here in Texas, the central part to be exact. We've also, or I guess not too exact, we've also got Michael W. Dean. He'll be even more vague for you. Where are you at, Michael?
I'm on the east side of Casper, yo.
East side?
I don't even know. I guess I'm on the east side. I'm not on the north side. The north side is south side is the wrong side of the tracks. Or
is
as
it,
they
no,
call
I
it,
thought the north side was the ghetto side.
As they call it, yeah, you're right. Felony flats. It's weird here because the mountain is
in the south,
and it's it just seems, and it's the front of my house faces it, and it seems to me like, you know, the front of the house and the mountain should be north, right? It just
I'm glad.
Sense.
See, that's so vague, but I feel the same way. When I lived in Castor, I always felt weird that the mountain was in the south, and I was always thinking the mountain should be on the north side.
That's because the house I grew up in faced north, and I've always, like, in my mind, when I have to, if I know which way north is, to figure out which way west is, I have to picture myself in the living room of the house I grew up in and go, well, my left hand is west. Okay.
Yeah. I think me too. I grew up in, or a lot of my life in Salt Lake, in Sandy to be exact. And so the mountains were directly west and north. So I think of mountains as being there. But
so Glock.
That's completely arbitrary.
Glock, yo. We're talking about Glocks. We like Glocks. I have a Glock. You have a sort of a copy of a Glock. What's your Glock copy?
I have
inspired
Springfield.
By
oh man, I forget it now.
XD.
Yes, my Springfield XD. It is awesome. I should know that. I really do enjoy being an XD owner. It's very, very accurate, and it looks kind of like a Glock, but it has a feature that I really like.
It's got some. I wouldn't say it's better, but it's got. I had one. It's got a couple features the Glock doesn't have, like
the passive safety is my favorite.
Yeah.
Unless you're holding it like a gun, it won't fire. So there's not a safety switch, so it's not like on or off. And because I'd be bad with that because I'd forget which one I left it on, and that's not good.
Well, it's also good for when you have cats, because if you have a Glock sitting out loaded, clocked and loaded, a cat could theoretically step inside the trigger guard and fire it, but that would be impossible with
the XD.
Yeah. So, Glocks, we looked up Glocks, and Glocks make three things. Glocks actually made one thing. Oh, I'm not going to say this with certainty, because then someone who often corrects me will write me, who's a gun
someone
expert.
Someone who has a PhD in Glocks.
In gunology. But, gunology. The Glock guy made stuff before he made Glocks, and there was a contest to come up with a new Austrian cop Glock army gun. And he won the contest, and that's where Glocks came from. And that's why they are government guns. But Glocks make three things that we can tell. They probably make more, but they make three things that they're known for. One is pistols, one is shovels, and one is knives. And we were joking that that's the complete government kit to get rid of dissidents. You shoot them, you cut them up, and you bury them.
Yes, it's vertical integration. Very good. Yeah.
And
very good marketing on their part.
We're not saying that that's what Glock had it set up to do. There's other things you can do with shovels. You can dig in and shoot your pistol. Although no wars are won with pistols. They're won with rifles.
Yeah. But you could definitely use it to dig in and fight your way until you can get back to your rifle. I suppose you could do that.
But they make this machine pistol that's it looks like a regular Glock, the Model 18, but it's full auto. And you pull the trigger and it's like, and all the bullets are gone. And that's probably why the one they found
when,
Saddam.
When they caught Saddam Hussein, it was empty. Yeah.
He probably went squirrel hunting because he was hungry and probably just emptied it on full auto into a squirrel or something.
Are there squirrels in the desert in Tikrit where he was?
There's squirrels everywhere. Squirrels of some sort everywhere.
Squirrels must flow.
They must. Yeah. No nation can stop the flow of squirrels.
Yeah. It kind of blew my mind. Like, why would you need a machine pistol? I feel like with my XD, I've got, 16 plus one or something like that. And so I could pull the trigger 17 times, theoretically, if I want to, and have 17 different targets. If I've got a machine pistol, it's once or twice, and that's it. And then I'm out. And then what do I do,
I don't think there's any evil gun. I think it's how they're used. But it seems to me like machine pistols are generally set up for evil or used often by people who do evil. A lot of time, like people who guard presidents carry them. The guy who was guarding Reagan when Reagan was shot pulled out an Uzi. Now, the thing about what kind of crowd control do you do with an Uzi or a Glock machine pistol? They're basically for indiscriminately shooting everyone in a crowd. Whether you're getting the guy who did the shooting or not. Yeah. I guess they'd be useful if a mob was coming to lynch you. But if a mob was coming to lynch you, I still think you'd be better off on semi-auto and just shoot the three leaders and then see who's willing to come at you rather than indiscriminately using all your ammo up.
Right. And then what happens when your ammo is all gone and there's still a bunch of people left? Anyway, we'll be back with plenty more Freedom Fiends after this quick trip to the market.
A bunch of evil people left. We're talking self-defense here, people. Only self-defense.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Glock, 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 yep. Glock, Glock, yo.
Glock, Glock. Watch my millimeter go.
So you were just, your wife was pod beefing with some idiots on prepper boards who said that they
internet
were just,
beefing. Yes, which is a rare thing because my wife's a vegetarian. So, yeah, she's on a prepper blog because she likes some of the prepper stuff. And I mean, being prepared is a basic thing, right? I mean, that's what the Boy Scouts teach you. You got to be prepared. You can take it to one degree or the next. But somebody on her prepper blog forum said, well, my plan is we have guns. And so when stuff goes wrong, we'll get what we need. And
so they'll steal?
Yeah. And my wife was like, huh, I hope you're joking, because otherwise you're implying that you'll go out and take by force what you need in a situation where it's a doomsday situation. And the person responded, yeah, basically I'd rather steal than let my kids starve. And so, of course, my wife wasn't going to let it be left at that and said, hey, you know, guns are a good part of a prep plan, obviously. But having that be your only part to where – stealing and being a thief is your first resort is not right. You know,
that's
that
horrible.
That's horrible, man. That should be a very last resort, if that even ever. You know, have beans and batteries and bullets, but you know, make sure you take care of your family first.
Did this person fight for their right to steal after your wife properly chided them?
I think it's still in the middle of the internet beef. It's not well done yet, so it's still rare.
Raw beef.
We'll see how it cooks up.
I would say that that is an absolutely immoral tack that person is taking about when the Schumer hits the fan, they're going to start, you know, stealing. I also think it's a bad logistical plan, because most people who prep have guns and know how to use them and might even have a Glock Model 18, which would be good for dispersing crowds of roaming zombies who want to steal your food.
I guess that's the other thing, is it's just a bad strategy in general, because the people who would still have stuff in that scenario, you know, the people who weren't preppers would be all out of stuff. So you can't steal from them. You'd have to go try to steal from the people who are well-prepared, who will also have weapons.
Even the Mormons have weapons. There's a Mormon prepping guide that's really good. It's a PDF that's put together by a Mormon church or some Mormons that's passed around by a lot of Mormons. that tells you how to prep and what to prep and what to, and they've been prepping forever. I mean, that's like part of being a Mormon, is being a prepper.
Yeah.
Before it was cool. And one of the things
they've been persecuted by the state and have had to be pioneers and literally pack up and, you know, go thousands of miles to the middle of nowhere before. That's in their history.
Yep. And they say in that prepping guide to have weapons, ammo, and have everyone in your family above, I think it's age 12, trained in using them. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I like living in Wyoming.
What do they recommend? Do they recommend the cutting edge in Serbo creation technology?
You mean what your gun is? That's a joke based on Dragnet, the movie Dragnet. They drive a Yugo car, and they call it the cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology. Now, you and I both have a Yugo gun, and it's hard to really say what Yugo – I mean, that country has divided so many times into different countries. But I have a Yugo AK from the 70s, which saw battle. And you have, and it's made in the same factory.
And I've broken it before.
You did. I fixed it. It's made in the same factory that the Yugo car is made in. They make horrible cars and great rifles. And you have a Croatian handgun. What is your sidearm?
Yes.
What's it
the
say
Springfield
on it?
XD. On the side, it says, I'm reading it, it says Springfield Armory USA. Then it says Springfield Incorporated Genesco, Illinois, made in Croatia. So thank you, Illinois, and thank you, Croatia, for this wonderful piece of self-defense technology.
Can you own a gun in Illinois? Probably not if you're not a Chicago police officer. Yeah. So I got a nice segue here. That person on that prepper board who says, but I want to fight for my right to steal, that sounds like this letter that a bunch of cops just wrote to Eric Holder.
Oh, yeah. Great segue. You get the segue of the day award.
Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. Yep. So do I get guns or weed? What's the reward for that?
You have to win the award a few times. If you win it 10 times, you get to pick guns or weed.
Well, I don't smoke weed, but you know, Glocks do have a little space in the grip where you can get a plug to plug
where
it.
Could slide a joint.
People could slide a joint. I've never heard of anyone doing that, but I bet there are people who do, who buy the little Glock plug so they can put their Glock and their weed in there. So nice. Here's a headline from HuffPo, which is really liberal, but you know, even a stop clock is right once a day. So here's this headline. Police groups furiously protest Eric Holder's marijuana policy announcement. Now, to explain what the announcement is, if you didn't hear, there's been a Watergate scandal per day since Obama's been in office. And it goes back to, last 6 months, last year, last 2 years of Bush. It's not unique to the Democrats. But they did – they haven't done anything right. But the one thing they kind of did right, and they had bad motives for it, but the one thing they did right was the other day Eric Holder basically said, we're not going to go after pot – we're not going to challenge states that legalize pot, basically. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. – and they had a bunch of rules on it, and it was non-binding, and he was reserving the right for things. And here's what they're reserving the right for. They're reserving the right to keep it illegal in federal cases as an add-on, as an enhancer probably in gun cases.
Right.
That's my
guess. Yeah. Yeah. But hey, it's not a step in the wrong direction. I guess I could put it that way. You know, I think the feds could have gone two ways. They could have fought the states, Colorado and Washington, hardcore on this and came down on them and looked like not very nice people to be radio friendly. They could have looked like tyrants and lost a lot of faith and credibility, which they have very little left to lose. But they have lost the support of a bunch of goons and pigs out there. And I actually thought the first two paragraphs here in the HuffPo article
pigs.
Were really good.
That's like a dirty word, man. You don't mean all cops. You mean cops that want to fight for their right. They're being piggy.
I mean the cops who wrote this letter. That's a very piggy thing to do, is to say
it
we want
piggy.
To continue
I don't like the word pig.
This drug war. That's fair enough. And you know, we say we hate the state, not the status. We hate the sin, not the sinner. And so, fine. The action of saying, no, the drug war must continue, and rather than getting more liberalized, it needs to get more tyrannical and draconian. That is a piggy action. That's oink, oink, oink. I need to fatten myself on the backs and sweat and misery of others who aren't hurting anybody.
Why don't you read some of this letter? Let's read some of this letter that the cops wrote to Holder. Now, I do want to preface while Nima pulls this up that I think our movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which you can buy or you can go to gunsandweed.com or you can go to YouTube and watch most of it for free, or you can download it on BitTorrent or Pirate Bay, which we allow people to do. It's legal use of that. I own the copyright. You know, it's in my name, so I can do what I want with it. I can give it away, and I do. So you can go bootleg the heck out of our movie. And it's a thing to be shared, and I think it had some small but important part in this whole thing, because I think it educated, it got reblogged on a lot of gun blogs. There were a lot of arguments by, you know, right-wing gun owners and gun owners that didn't buy the line straight up that the NRA has, that the war on drugs must continue to get fought, which they don't really realize that what we realize, which is that the war on drugs fuels the war on guns. The fact
they're
that
both a war on freedom
and
is the thing.
And even if you don't care about other people's freedom and you're selfish and piggy about your gun freedom and you only want your gun freedom, you should still be against the war on drugs, because militarizing all those police and giving them unlimited powers to kick in doors with flashbangs, that those are the same people that are going to come for your guns. They are training the people that are going to take your guns away. So I think our movie had a little bit to do with this. And I think the reason Eric Holder's doing this is he doesn't want to have a states' rights fight with any states over over guns. And that's why he's doing this with pot.
Which bodes really well. It means at some level nullification is working.
It means
the
we're
feds
winning.
Have backed down it means from the
we're
nullification.
Winning. We're winning a little bit. So go ahead and read this this swinish letter of guys who want to fight for their right to stop you from partying, and they want to be able to kick in your door and steal tax money and shoot people and get away with it, basically, which is what the war on drugs is. So go ahead.
You know, swinishness, Allah forbids it. But no. Because it's pig. It's pork. You know, it was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
You're not a Muslim.
Right. I'm not. No. No, I'm not. And I hope you didn't think I was. It was just making a silly joke. So according to this, this is the letter. It's addressed to the Honorable Eric H. Holder, Jr.
Honorable.
Why are you going to call him honorable and then spend two pages digging your heels?
Telling him he's wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so on behalf of the undersigned national law enforcement organizations, we write to express our extreme disappointment that the U.S. Department of Justice does not intend to challenge policies in Colorado or Washington that legalize the sale and recreational use of marijuana in contravention of federal law. Further, the department reiterated its intent to enforce the Federal Controlled Substances Act in 8 priority areas. However, these will be extremely difficult for federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement agencies to enforce in practice given the recently approved referendums. As law enforcement officials, we are charged with enforcing the law and keeping our neighborhoods and communities safe, a task that becomes infinitely harder for our frontline men and women given the department's position.
Okay,
so
I have
because
to interject-
the department is saying you don't have to get out there and fight this battle, it makes it harder. Well, then just don't fight it, right?
I just remembered the dream I had last night. I had a dream that I time traveled, and I was standing on the street when Franklin walked out of the Constitutional Convention, and the lady said, "Mr. Franklin, what sort of government are you giving us?" And he said, "It's a republic if you can keep it." And I started yelling at both of them, and then I woke up.
Yeah.
I was like, "It doesn't matter. I'm here from the future to tell you they couldn't keep it, and it didn't matter."
Yeah,
I really had that dream last night. It was funny.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, because we talked about that yesterday, and we also talked about time travel, i.e. Barack Obama's 15-year-old mind time traveling to his current body. So that's –
I'm living the fiend, man. I'm living the fiend.
Living the fiend. There you go.
All right. Next paragraph, please.
The decision by the department ignores the connections between marijuana use and violent crime.
The violent crime comes from the drug cops, man. That's the only violent crime in the drug war.
Yeah.
And there's only crime because it's illegal. And we've said it before. You don't have Bud Light and Miller trucks shooting it out in the streets because it's legal. It's only because it's illegal that it's worth more than gold and people are willing to shoot each other over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the first paragraph, in the first sentence of the second paragraph, they miss the connection, ignore the connection between the drug war and violent crime. Their drug war.
Okay,
that's
it's not worth
connection.
More than gold, but hash oil is probably worth more than gold.
There you go.
When it's refined, it is. Yeah.
All right. So the potential trafficking problems that could be created across state and local boundaries as a result of legalization. Well, here, solve the problem. Just decriminalize it all. Just legalize the trade. You're nitpicking. Well, if you legalize it here, then it makes it difficult to fight the war there. Why are you arguing about that?
To be
clear. Arguing about whether the war should be fought at all.
To be clear, Neem and I do not smoke pot, and we're both recovering alcoholics who don't even drink. I don't even like being around people who smoke pot when they're smoking it. It's kind of irritating to me, but I will fight for their right to smoke it, man. And I will call these actions by police who want to fight for their right to hurt people over it. I will call that swiney. It is swiney. And we'll be back with more on The Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Yeah.
Michael, close the Miley Cyrus tab. It's time for the bottom of the first hour of Freedom Fiends Live. How's it going, all?
No, man, I'm looking at the Gmail site.
I can't stop.
G-milf.
I won't stop.
G-milfs.
G-milf, really?
Squiscar. I'm like Squiscar, okay. Man. Let's just leave it at that. Just stop. Just stop.
That's fine.
Like my cheese. I'm eating cheese. All right, so we're talking about some police that are acting swinish. We don't call them pigs, but some of their actions are piggy. And not even piggy, it's more like wolves, man.
Yeah.
It's more like wolves. Like pigs, aren't pigs vegetarians? I know pigs will
eat wild pigs,
dead things
like
by
the
mistake,
boars in Texas that will...
There you go. Cops are like, these cops are like boars.
There's some wild boars in Texas that will, impale you with their tusks and go to town.
I heard they're sending Ted Nugent after them. I actually read that somewhere. Like, Ted Nugent will deal with Texas's... as soon as he's done winning the war on drugs, Ted Nugent will go after the wild boars of Ted Nugent's so pro war on guns.
I'd love
guns,
to see
man.
Him
it's
interviewed on this.
I wouldn't. He'd be all for it. He'd be.
What do you mean war on drugs?
I'm surprised he didn't sign this letter because isn't he part of some? Isn't he a federal law marshal, sheriff, or something? Like he gets to carry a gun everywhere because he goes on drug ride-alongs when they bust people for meth and pot.
Just because he wrote Stranglehold, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
That's the last good thing Ted Nugent did, man. Writing Stranglehold. I like guns. He likes guns. I just don't like him, man. Yeah. He gets it about a third right. Yeah. And if he wants to come on here and debate us, here's an invite. Come on, Ted.
He'll be like,
yeah.
You guys can have a base off too.
I'm not going to bash someone and just say, you're dumb, man, and leave it at that. Ted Nugent can come on here, although he's probably out celebrating something today. He's grilling something today because it's a Labor Day. So read more of what these cops said about why they don't want to give up their right to kick in your door.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
So,
testify, brother Beavis. Testify.
Yes. I'll just start again with the second paragraph because we don't want to jump right in the middle of it again. So, the decision by the department ignores the connections between marijuana use and violent crime, the potential trafficking problems that could be created across state and local boundaries as a result of legalization, and the potential economic and social costs that could be incurred. Communities have been crippled by drug use and addiction, stifling economic productivity. Specifically, marijuana's harmful effects can include episodes of depression, suicidal thoughts, attention deficit
issues. Yeah, suicidal thoughts
because marijuana has also
prison.
Been documented as a gateway drug.
None of this
is true,
man.
It reminds me of that
man.
Facebook meme with the Goonie cop with his folded arms looking at you saying, drugs will ruin your life. So if I catch you doing drugs, I'll throw you in prison and ruin your life.
Yeah.
The supposed solution is worse than the supposed problem. In their mind, you know. All right, so I'll continue on. Marijuana use has had devastating effects in our communities with over 8,000 drug driving deaths a year, many of which involved marijuana use. Well, here's a thought. Get rid of the socialist road system. You know, there's something like 40, 45,000 deaths per year. And Walter Block wrote a whole book on this, on the changes that could be made to the nation's transportation system, which would take it out of government hands, because that's really the problem. Problem is you have this this problem of the commons, this government administered road system, and that's what really leads to all the deaths. Anyway, I'll continue on. Data from Colorado demonstrate the consequences of relaxed marijuana policies that lead to increased use. Fatalities involving drivers testing positive for marijuana increased 114% between 2006 and 2011.
I'll tell you this: the day marijuana
into emergency rooms,
the day marijuana is legal, I don't start smoking it. I'm not going to smoke it if it's legal. I don't like pot. I really think that laws don't stop actions. I mean, they're not winning the war on drugs. They've been fighting it since the 30s, and there's more drugs than ever. And I really think that the war on drugs increases the market and availability because there is such an economic incentive because it's illegal. What say you?
Oh, yeah.
What say you?
Completely.
Yeah.
I say the same thing. And so does the Huffington Post, of all people.
Ugh.
Agree on us. Here we go. Where?
Stop clock. Is right once a week. Yeah, I'm here. Here we go to the market, and there's no guns and weed in this market, but there is the movie Guns and Weed in this market, and we made it, and you can buy it, and there's probably going to be an ad for it, and we'll be back in hour two on the Freedom Fiends. All right.
But
all right, guys, I'm going to step away to the restroom again real quick, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Fiends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends Live. Yes, it is our talk radio show. We are working through the government price fixing of Labor Day. And I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
It's good. I guess that makes us Labertarians.
Labertarians.
Because we're laboring on Labor Day and we're libertarians.
Mm, is that it? Yeah. Sure enough. Back to the story of cops, goons everywhere.
Cops saying, Eric Holder, you took our jobs. You took our jobs. We like banging in doors and beating people up and taking their property and throwing them in a cage and charging them a hostage fee to get out and ruining their lives to prevent them from ruining their lives.
Yeah. And getting to buy new cars to drive every year.
Oh, they just steal them. They steal them from people who have pot. Mm. And then take
them. I mean, they're cop cars, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and they're Bearcats.
Oh, yeah. And anyway, all right. So, like I was about to get to before the last break, even HuffPo gets it right. The first paragraph here in their article on this is, a broad coalition of law enforcement officers who have spent the past three decades waging an increasingly militarized drug war that has failed to reduce drug use doesn't want to give up the fight. And that's it, right? They failed. They failed. And I think what their failure proves or is evidence of is that the drug war is a losing proposition, is that you can't use force and violence to change society's behaviors. You can't use it to prevent market actions from taking place.
I want to point out and get on record that I predicted this a couple weeks ago. Remember, I said, Sanjay Gupta just reversed himself on pot. And I believe that this is going to be the first salvo in the feds decriminalizing pot. And, people just thought, oh, he's just shooting his mouth off. He does that all the time. But
ooh, Mr. Dean or Mr. Gupta?
Me.
No, we did a whole segment on this, that this Gupta is a sea change thing because he is – people call him America's doctor. People think of him as – people probably know him more than whoever is the Surgeon General right now. I don't even know the Surgeon General's name. Do you?
When I was a kid – the people's doctor was whoever the older kind of avuncular surgeon on General Hospital was. Like that guy did coffee commercials for decaf and was like,
did he?
I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. But I've
looked, that's a real thing. I thought that was a joke.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Wow. And it was a TV doctor. And Sanjay Gupta is a TV doctor, but he's got an MD, I guess. Or is he a I don't know.
He's got an MD, even though that didn't prevent him from buying the thought that, oh, well, marijuana must be bad because it's on the Schedule 1 list, according to the DEA. So without any scientific evidence, I'm just going to say, well, because the DEA says it's bad, it must be bad. That's all the evidence I need, which isn't very scientific.
Yeah, and what this letter proves to me, a couple comments I have on it, and we'll read some more of it. One is, the government only exists with the consent of the people. And really what I think Eric Holder is doing is getting in front of the parade, because it's really reached a tipping point where something well over 51%, not well over, but like, you know, 51, 54%, something like that, of Americans think marijuana should be decriminalized. And when that happens, if the government keeps fighting it, they look like the bad guys and they want to look like the good guys. If they were really good, you know, they would have legalized pot on day one of Obama's administration, but it wasn't, and they could have done it. It wouldn't have hurt them. It would have been making good on a promise. But no, they just kept throwing people in cages. And I'm wondering, I really doubt they're going to let anybody out of cages because of this letter.
That's the really sad thing. Can you imagine still being stuck in a cage with and this, hearing the news that, hey, it's pretty, if you would have gotten caught 2 years after you did get caught, you would have, there would have been no problem. There would have been nobody to catch you.
Which is another reason it's really bizarre for me, to me, for people to fight for the idea of a nation. Because not only is a nation a particular moment in time where geographic boundaries exist, and they do change over time. But, you know, when people say, I will fight to the death for the idea of this nation, they're wanting to fight for, like, the exact boundaries at that moment in time. But, of course, if they change, they're still willing to fight for them. But they're also willing to fight for the exact way all the laws are written at that moment. And
which they're always going to be changing.
Which leads me to the next part where I think where this is going to go is – Holder's going to let these cops get really angry and then going to say, hey, you'll still get to kick indoors, but it's going to be gun owners and it's going to be people who don't comply with Obamacare. And it's going to be people who, you know, have a mud puddle in their backyard and the EPA says it's an aquatic wetland and they need to protect it. And that's not a joke. They do that, man. So that's what I think is going to happen, is these cops are going to be reassigned, not even retrained. They're already trained for kicking indoors. They're just going to be reassigned to go after people who don't comply with other things, and they'll just let everyone be stoned so they don't care as much when their neighbors are getting their doors kicked in for guns or mud puddles.
Feisty libertarian rant. All right.
So tell it, Brother Beavis. Yeah. Read some more of this letter from these swinish cops. These cops acting swinishly about
this. This paragraph I had started on, it's just a bunch of stats. And there's a book called Lying with Statistics that you can read.
And they're all government stats. They're all government. They're all from organizations who have something to gain by keeping drugs illegal. So just skip them.
Yeah. Well, even I don't have to skip them. I will say that let's grant all of their facts as facts, and we can take them even for the sake of argument. They're saying that fatalities involving drivers testing positive for marijuana increased 114% between 2006 and 2011. Hey, that doesn't – you're not showing any causation. You're implying the causation. You're just showing correlation. B, let's assume the causation. Let's assume that that many more people die in car wrecks if pot is legal. Well, I say – who cares? It's not your business. It's not your business. The problem are problems that you're creating in the first place. The fact that you have one monopoly road system. Maybe you should have multiple ways of transportation and owned by private people. And one method of transportation, no drugs allowed. At the other one, it's a free-for-all. It's like Spring Break 2003 or something. You know? Grant it for them. Freedom is the biggest principle we need to be focusing on. And if people want to destroy themselves, nobody has any business telling them that they can't.
I also say that if the idea of outlawing pot is to protect the people, like these cops have claimed they valiantly do. There's a lot of things that kill more people than pot. Pot doesn't kill anybody. No one's ever OD'd a pot. People OD of alcohol all the time. Swimming pools kill a lot more. Ladders. Why don't these cops get reassigned to kick in the doors of people who own ladders or swimming pools and arrest them violently and take their property? That would make more sense. It wouldn't make sense, but it would make more sense than arresting people for pot.
Hey, the weather kills people. People die of heat exhaustion. Maybe we should outlaw the sun.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
That's the level of thinking here. So I'll move on. As with many other drugs, marijuana can also be directly tied to violent crime.
Because it's illegal. Illegal. That's the only violent crime.
Let's see where they're going with this. So as recently as May of 2013, the ONDCP, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, released a report showing that marijuana is the most common drug found in the systems of individuals arrested for
criminal
activity. That
is wet sidewalks cause rain.
That really is. Yeah, it really is. Hey, man, pot is popular. You know, it's very popular. And pot would probably be found in the systems of most people doing anything. You could take any group of people doing something and pot would probably be the biggest substance found.
Including kicking indoors for people at pot. I think if you drug tested all those. Do those guys get drug tested? Probably rarely.
I'm sure
they probably
do.
Know how to get around it. I'll bet some of them steal the drugs.
Well, hey, the drug labs are on their side.
Yeah. Talk about that real briefly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll get to that eventually here in hour two, but just a little teaser for you. There's been a recent study done showing that in a lot of jurisdictions, the way crime labs get paid is by conviction, i.e., if I drug test you for this criminal offense and it comes back negative and the prosecutor loses the case, I don't get paid. So what do you think the incentive there is? It's obviously to be on the side of the state.
It's not science, man. It's not science. And they portray these people as these selfless scientists on all these CSI shows.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not.
They're not.
They're not. They're part of the state's team, and their promotion and job review, professional review, it's all tied in with the prosecutors and the police departments. And so they're all one big team. And there's supposed to be some kind of sense of a fair trial or a decent justice system here in what we call the land of the free. But how is that the case when the referee and even the guy showing the replay, the playback video, is on the side of a specific team? That's not very fair now, is it? All right, so we'll go on. The ONDCP study found that 80% of the adult males arrested for crimes in Sacramento, California last year tested positive for at least one illegal drug. Marijuana was the most commonly detected drug, found in 54% of those arrested.
Now,
similar results were found in Chicago, Atlanta, and New York.
If pot is a gateway drug to crime, which they seem to imply, along with being a gateway drug to other drugs, I think it's because the fact that it's illegal and you smoke it and you go, well, this isn't bad. It kind of the laws, the oppressive laws kind of brainwash people to think that crime is OK. And a lot of young people confuse actual crimes like stealing with fake crimes like pot being illegal because they go,
yeah,
well, pot's illegal. It must not be bad to break laws because this didn't hurt me. So I say it's the fault of the law if it's a gateway to crime.
Well, it's the fault of legal positivism. It's the fault of our culture or the society here thinking that law comes from legislators rather than that law is natural and needs to be discovered by legal scholars and lawyers and et cetera and can be explained. And what judges really need to be doing is finding out where aggression happened and who the aggressor was. And that's really the only legitimate function of a judge or a jury rather than having this system where the only thing we think of as law is something a legislator says, writes down, gets voted on, gets put into a book or on paper, and then cops go out and point guns at people who don't do the specific thing that the law, that paper says.
These cops commit aggression as their job description. And this letter is like one of the final straws of the drowning rats saying, but we want to be able to aggress on people and steal their stuff and shoot them and get away with it and kick in doors and use flashbacks and weapons of war in the streets of America. That's what they want.
Yeah.
So read on. Yeah. Read on, brother.
Read on. All right. The conclusion that can be drawn from these facts is that relaxed marijuana policies lead to clear and foreseeable negative consequences for communities and families.
Yeah, like these cops having to get real jobs and do real work instead of aggressing on people.
Yeah, that's it, huh? Well, we'll get back to more of this on Freedom Fiends. We're going to take a trip to the market where we ask you to buy things and you can choose to buy them. We're not going to force you. We're not going to kick in your door. So stay with us, fiends. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
No more pelvis talk on the Fiends.
What did I just say? You just talked about the thing I said don't talk about.
Yeah.
Ah, we're back. Freedom Fiends Live. It is our live talk radio show on government price controlled weekend. How is everybody doing today? Good, I hope. And if not, bummer, man. Yeah.
I was looking at this photo from Reagan's assassination attempt, the assassination attempt on Reagan, where this Secret Service guy, who doesn't look like they look now, he's not wearing a black suit and the men in black glasses, he's wearing a gray suit and has kind of a porn mustache.
Is it gray? I thought it was like light blue, like he's gray. Like some kind of sky blue tuxedo. Yeah.
And he's holding an Uzi that he's pulled out of briefcase, and he's kind of jutting his pelvis out, and it looks like something from, you said, Grand Theft Auto.
Vice City.
Yeah. It looks very 70s or 80s, you know, kind of like a detective show. He's got a mustache. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Where was he keeping that Uzi is what I don't
know. It was
in
a briefcase. It was pulled out of a briefcase.
It was in a briefcase.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's gangsta too, carrying an Uzi in a briefcase. That's totally like say
is
hello
that,
to my little
is it
friend,
that briefcase
man.
That's in the foreground next to the president's town car or whatever that is?
Maybe.
He like opened it and threw it down the street.
He did.
That's what it looks like.
Yep. That is it. Okay. That is a gun holding case. It's got foam in it in the shape of an Uzi.
All right. Well, there you go. So speaking of goons and Uzis and such, we on the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show, we're reading a crybaby letter from a bunch of goon organizations. Yeah, and basically it's crying to Eric Holder that, no, you're starting to end the drug war slightly. Don't do that. And so here we go. I'll go ahead and continue on. Furthermore, it is unacceptable that the Department of Justice did not consult our organizations, whose members will be directly impacted, for meaningful input ahead of this important decision. Our organizations were given notice just 30 minutes before the official announcement was made public and were not given the adequate forum ahead of time to express our concerns with the department's conclusion on this matter. Simply, quote, checking the box by alerting law enforcement officials right before a decision is announced is not enough, and certainly does not show an understanding of the value of the federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement partnerships bring to the Department of Justice and the public safety discussion. Yeah. Well, what were they going to do?
They took our jobs.
Do you think any of these things would have convinced Eric Holder that he should have a showdown with the state governments and the people of Colorado or Washington State?
He's playing a much bigger, much longer term game of three-dimensional chess. Mm-hmm. You know, they play three-dimensional chess in Star Trek.
Oh, do they?
Or is it Star Wars?
Is that where it comes from?
I'm not. I didn't go to NerdCon 3000, so I don't know.
All right. I'll continue on. Marijuana is illegal under federal law. and should remain that way. While we certainly understand that discretion plays a role in decisions to prosecute individual cases, the failure of the Department of Justice to challenge state policies that clearly contradict federal law is both unacceptable and unprecedented. The failure of the federal government to act in this matter is an open invitation to other states to legalize marijuana in defiance of federal law.
And that part is in bold, and someone said it is Star Trek where they play three-dimensional chess. Someone in the chat room corrected me. Some nerd, some guy I know who's a Linux computer administrator. Of course he knows with Star Trek. Hey, I can't criticize him. He helped set up the ability that you and I have to sound like we're in the same room when we're in different states. So, yeah.
There you go.
Link P.
But, yo. Yeah. So, yeah, you, like you said, that sentence in bold there, we look at that as, okay, great. Yeah, it is kind of an open letter to other states or an open invitation to other states to legalize marijuana. This in defiance of federal law. I mean, I don't know. As far as the supremacy clause goes, it's only supposed to put the federal government as supreme in the furtherance of the Constitution. And you could say that people have a natural right to ingestion. That's a right that's reserved to the people or to the states. Therefore, federal law does not supersede state law with regard to drugs or marijuana legalization.
Yeah, these cops are basically crying, but we had this for dozens of – for many, many years. We were able to unconstitutionally kick in doors and put guns to people's heads and steal their stuff and charge them a bunch of money and throw them in a cage. We want to keep doing it because we could do it. It's kind of like when record companies freaked out about Napster and about file sharing. They were basically saying – but we were able to make money off this for 100 years. We want to do it for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. They want to be like Hitler. Mm-hmm. These cops want to be like Hitler. They're like, we want to have a 1,000-year Reich of kicking in doors because we had of, 12 years or 13 years.
Yep. And to his credit, like you said, there may be some long-term sinisterness behind Eric Holder's actions here. But hey, I guess we'll take what freedom we can get right now. We're not going to chide him for backing off on his tyranny, at least for a little bit. We'll be back with more analysis here on the Freedom Fiends Live.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
All right. It's Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming, the Cowboy State. How are you doing, Michael?
I am good. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America in Wyoming.
Lucky you. There's not too many cops out there just yet. It's not like Austin where I drive down the freeway and there's literally one every 100 yards, it seems like.
And there's so few people here, you can see the cops coming from a mile away, as they say in that literally. Kid Rock song.
Do they say that in the Kid Rock song?
He actually says, I can smell a pig from a mile away. But we don't call policemen pigs here on the Freedom Fiends. We will only point out when they are acting swinish, like when they're writing a letter to their boss's 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 boss, basically writing to the principal saying, But you put us in charge as bullies. We want to keep being bullies. And, you know, the real truth is he's going to, Eric Holder's going to come out in a couple weeks and say, okay, you can still be bullies, but it's going to be for other stuff like guns and not having Obamacare and having a mud puddle in your backyard. And we have to close it down and not let you build a swimming pool there because swimming pools kill people.
That's about right. But let's see what their final word was on this. This is, of course, a letter written to Eric Holder, signed by a bunch of different goon agencies like the International Association of the Chiefs of Police, the National Sheriff's Association, the Major Counties Sheriff's Association, and on and on.
International. Why do we care what cops in other countries do as affecting? Why should that affect law in America?
Because you get it, man. The state is the state of mind. It's not about America. It's not about Britain or Parliament or Congress or the Knesset or the Islamic Republic of Iran. A state is a state is a state. And that means that the enforcers of the state, the paramilitary goons that go around pointing guns that are the armed guard of the monopoly of violence or the monopolies of violence on the different geographical areas. It's all the same problem. So yeah, I could totally see how the International Association of Goon Guards would be in on this.
Feisty libertarian rant number three in this day's cast on Price Fixing Day weekend 2013.
Yeah. And so, these goon groups, collectively, cause they are collectivists, say, we strongly encourage you to consider all the potential implications of the department's decision not to enforce federal law on marijuana sale and use in Colorado and Washington. This decision will undoubtedly have grave unintended consequences. Like there aren't so many horribly grave unintended consequences from the drug war in the first place. I mean, half of the things you're complaining about in this letter directly are unintended consequences of
the drug intended.
War. Or intent, yeah. But they're consequences that people maybe didn't see or didn't foresee, but are obvious to anybody who realizes that violence doesn't solve problems. All right, I'll continue on the actual letter. The decision will undoubtedly have grave unintended consequences, including a reversal of the declining crime rates that we as law enforcement practitioners have spent more than a decade maintaining.
Okay.
Really?
So, wait, what does that mean? It means without being able to arrest stoner kids for having a joint, our stats won't look as good. That's what they're saying.
Well, not only that, but how doublethink is this? Because out of one side of their mouth, they're saying that that drug use has increased, and part of it is because of relaxed marijuana policies. But they're also saying crime has decreased in that same time period. They're shooting their own argument in the foot, saying, "Hey, when you relax on drug crimes, more people do drugs." And hey, over the same time period, crime has gone down. Well, then it's obvious you should keep relaxing the drug laws, guys. They just don't get it. All right. Our number one goal is to protect the public and ensure its safety. Is that really your number one goal? I thought your number one goal was to make $80,000 a year starting out for having no skills and get to drive the newest Dodge Charger every day.
Yeah.
The department's decision undermines law enforcement's efforts to carry out this responsibility and will not aid in maintaining public safety. And by public safety, I mean my fat paycheck.
Now, they'll just retrain all these goons to, like, kick in the doors of people doing radio shows and take their equipment.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing, man. I don't get it. There's always going to be work for you guys. I mean, the state isn't reducing its size. They're just pulling – I mean, it's like they're pulling out of one battlefield to push troops into another battlefield. So quit complaining. All you goon factories out there will still have plenty of government handouts to go get your overtime for doing SWAT raids on people with misdemeanors and throwing flashbangs at them to incinerate their bodies like Will Grigg reports in California. Yeah, there's a guy, he was a suspect in a murder case, but he apparently wasn't even at the scene of the murder. His name was Alejandro Gonzalez. And they decided to go ahead and raid his house because he had a criminal history. But his criminal history, according to Will Grigg, was just some misdemeanors, you know, basic things.
Pot.
Yeah, probably. And so they go to his house with a bearcat. And they decide to break and rake, I guess is what the team is called, which means they shattered his window, threw a flashbang grenade in it. Guy was apparently passed out on the couch, which is why he wasn't answering him there. They were sitting there yelling at him with, oh, get this. The name of the megaphone they use is called the Thunder Hailer. they were using the Thunder Hailer to yell at this guy. He's passed out, man. I mean, wait till he wakes up and then send him a letter, you know? But instead, they broke his window, threw a flashbang grenade in there, which is one of this class of weapons they call less than lethal, because it did kill him, because the flash of the flashbang grenade ignited a couch that he was laying on, and the dude died. And, of course, you know, when this all this stuff goes back to the crime lab, I'm sure the crime lab will firmly be in the hands and on the corner and in the side. Or I guess I missed my prepositions there. But they'll be with the state.
Nice
in this,
segue.
I'm sure.
What are you getting at there, Nima? What are you pointing toward?
Ah, yes. I guess we're just a HuffPo affiliate today. I guess they've gotten it right recently because Radney Balco, who actually does a lot
Obama,
of good work.
Obama is not being loved by the left as much as he was before he talked about going to war with Syria. So, it ain't working out for him so well. Whoever his tyranny sponsor is, whether it's the ghost of Ronald Reagan or whether it's, Hillary Clinton, whoever's whispering in his ear, you got to get a war under your belt.
Well, remember the 2012 election. We were so worried about Obama getting a second term because that's when the worst stuff happens, because he's got no pressure on him. I mean, what's he going to do? He's going to lose the 2016 election? There, he doesn't have one.
No, so he's going to do whatever he wants and then go teach constitutional law at at American University and get another Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
For ending the war he starts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they're going to give him another one. Radley Balco, he's also done some great studies showing that there's something like more than 100, less than 200, I forget the exact number, but a ton, you know, triple-digit numbers of SWAT raids in America every day. Now, these SWAT raids, you probably remember, I don't know if I remember when they were first, when L.A. first got its SWAT team and it came out and, you know, they had the great acronym.
That was before I lived there. I was in San Francisco dealing with the SFPD, who live in the shadow of the LAPD and don't want to be called sissy boys, so tend to beat up probably when they can, have occasionally been accused of beating up and killing more people in the LAPD per capita. I don't know, man. That's just how it looks. I don't have the stats.
But I guess my point wasn't the SWAT team originally supposed to be for like crazy things?
The SWAT
like
team
that
was,
normal cops couldn't
It was the North Hollywood shootout, which was a bunch of guys with homemade body armor who'd taken like painkillers, so when they got shot through the body armor, even they could keep going. And they were willing to die, and it was a big deal. And the cops said, we need something to deal with this. Although they had SWAT-type stuff in the 70s. I mean, if you look at that cop show that I used to like to watch. Yeah, not Dragnet, the one after it. The one with the two cops. You know, that show with the two cops? Yeah, from the 70s.
Turner and Hooch?
Well, they had people they could call in who came in a panel truck and had body armor. And rifles. Okay. They had deer rifles. But yeah, that's who they call in. They've had that forever.
But it wasn't a routine thing.
I think the Nazis started the SWAT team, man. The Nazis. Literally. Like, they had teams to go around and kick in the doors of Jewish merchants and do horrible things to them. That's where the SWAT team started, man. Nazi Germany.
Well, I guess it's becoming more and more like that iteration of the SWAT team. Because every little town has one now, man.
The Greeks had soldiers that could go in and grab Jesus and kill him after a fair trial. Remember that, man. Jesus was killed after a fair trial by the government for protesting the government.
There was plenty of due process going on there.
Yeah, so if you believe government's great, it always does good, and you're a Christian, there's some disconnect there, man, because your Lord was killed by the government after a fair trial.
You might want to look into that. Yeah, I would say so. But anyway, I guess my point was there's a ton, you know, there's a lot more than most people think SWAT raids going on in this country. And you wouldn't look at a similar stat and say, oh, there are hundreds of hostage crises in America every day. Nobody would believe that. You know, you wouldn't say, oh, there's 100 high profile bank robberies that you could make a movie out of going on every day. No, people wouldn't buy that. But you say there's 100 SWAT raids every day. People are like, yeah. That makes sense. So, because SWAT raids aren't for big things like that anymore. They're for things like serving misdemeanor warrants.
Oh, where I thought you were going with this was saying that SWAT raids basically are hostage situations where the SWAT team is taking the citizen hostage. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, they are that too. Because, yeah, also in this case we were talking about earlier in California with Alejandro, you know, they show up in their SWAT gear, you know, with their Bearcat, and they point guns at the house, and they try to get the person to come out. And they're not leaving until the person they want, they get him.
And then they take him prisoner.
And, of course, there's more people in the house.
It's a hostage situation. Yeah.
So somebody fled the house, what? And luckily she didn't get shot, but they did detain her. And I've seen this with my own eyes working as a reporter. I've done video of SWAT raids because I heard it on the scanner, and I zoomed over there to see what I could get. And yeah, it's they sit out there way overpowering anybody that could be in the house, snipers on roofs pointing 30 caliber rifles with scopes at the window and the door, and there's little kids in there.
Well,
and then the little kids have to peek out and slowly crawl out
when it's even the right house, when they have the right address. Yeah. They do this to the wrong address sometime, where some secretary types one number wrong, or they have the wrong information, you know, of what they think is right, even if it's not right to go in these houses. Yeah. They sometimes go in the wrong house. And if they go in the wrong house, you know, and they kick in doors and somebody pulls a gun because they think it's some, you know, Crip or Blood gang coming in their door doing a home invasion, because it's usually in areas where they have a lot of those. And those people always yell police, man. Gangs always yell police when they come in. That's their trick now.
So
they'll shoot you dead, the cops.
Well, hopefully we'll have some redemption from you after we go to the market here. Stay with us.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. It is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadati. And let's see, I guess we're at about the bottom of the second hour, so that means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review. We've got a few things here. I will address one thing. I've been saying recently that it's crazy that France has troops in Northern Africa. I'm referring specifically to Mali. So the French put actual boots in the ground in Mali this summer. I'm not sure if they're still there, but the headline from the Telegraph in the UK was that there would be at least 1,000 French troops in Mali indefinitely to help keep Al-Qaeda at bay. And now Mali has actually had problems because of the Libya intervention. The Tuaregs, who helped fight in Libya, got a little brave after the Libya war and went down to Mali, where they're traveling nomads. They have some land in Mali that they use. They went down and deposed the Malian government. And France said, nuh-uh, and sent some Western imperial goons there to Mali. Actually, if you Google French troops in Mali, it autofills. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and look that up. I found it really interesting.
That was feisty Scott Horton-esque rant number one.
Ah, yeah.
It was good.
There you go. So back to the Fiends Tweak and Review. All right. We started off talking about the Glock 18C, which is a fully automatic Glock pistol. So imagine that Glock that you carry in your back. Imagine pulling the trigger and the clip empties. I can't imagine that would be that great of a thing in most situations I can imagine using a Glock for. But hey, whatever floats your boat, and if you like to turn ammunition into noise or turn money into noise, as Boston Tea Party says, more power to you, but you can't buy one. You have to be a reputable law enforcement agency. I don't know how reputable Glock decides.
Like, does Glock review how many people you've beat, how many charges against you beating people up have been filed?
Yes. Please show us your complaint stats. Yeah. Show us how many officer-involved shootings you've had. No, I don't want to slander them.
No, I'm not slandering. I'm saying, like, if it was a real – if they were really checking reputability, I would think an organization would look at that and maybe not sell them these based on some of those complaints.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It is definitely in the language of Glock's promotional materials their fully automatic.
I imagine, I'm not picking on Glock, but I imagine that with most companies that deal with governments and sell them arms, it's probably a scenario of if the agency says they're reputable, that means they're reputable. Because they're governments, yeah. Man. They're infallible. If you're selling them weapons people can't get, you must consider them infallible because they're governments, wouldn't you?
And I guess the thing, too, is it's probably not Glock's fault completely. I mean, they're just trying to keep from getting themselves raided or their guns.
That's always
being
the
banned.
Case. I mean, you know, Google used to say Google's motto was "Don't be evil," but the government makes companies be evil by making them comply.
Right. So Glock is doing what's best for them as a company. It's just unfortunately what's best for them as a company means keeping some things out of willing customers' hands because the government might come in and take those or sanction the company in some horrible way. So you're right. It's not their fault. They're just it's like the average person paying their taxes. You know, you might not want to. You might think it's immoral. You might think it's wrong. You might think it's useless. But if you don't do it, they're going to come and cause a lot of pain. It's going to be the pain monster. And so you might as well avoid the pain monster.
I like Link P's new motto: SWAT. It's not just for unpaid parking tickets anymore.
There you go. All right. And so then we went off on a little tangent about prepping. It means being prepared. You can't say, hey, I have guns, so I'm a prepper, because when the Schumer hits the fan, I'm going to go out and start spraying to steal things. Not only is that immoral and to have that as a first resort is wrong, but it's also it's bad strategy, bad tactics. The only people that are going to have something you'd want to take are going to be people who are preppers in the first place, and they're probably going to be better armed than you because they've thought ahead and obviously are better at thinking ahead than you. So don't bark up that tree if you want to prepare for an uncertain future.
Join the police.
Get yourself some of the basics of life. Don't join the police, because then you'll spend all your time crying to Eric Holder about the fact that tyranny were slightly lessened for a temporary time. So we talked about that letter from the cops complaining. And also state labs paid by conviction. So, we'll talk about more of that on the Wednesday show. Thanks for sticking with us, Freedom Fiends and Worms.
Stanks. Worms. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
All right, thanks, fellas.